The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti is Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network and wherever you are on the free Odyssey app. Good Monday morning. Let's see if we remember how to do a radio show. I feel like we have not been here for a month. I had a great time off. I talked to Boomer very minimally, but I understand that he had also a great time off. And I think that we had been spending so much time together that it was probably a good thing that we didn't see each other for a week, because we also have a ton of things coming up. We're going to be spending time together. So it's good to see you. We've got an all-star break. We got a couple of teams that are looking towards a trade deadline. Some losses yesterday, but still in decent spots are these championship teams. What do they have to do to add? And of course, you know, it's a slow week at sports. We're going to get to absolutely everything over the next couple of days. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. I'm rested and ready to roll, man. It was a good week and certainly enjoyed every facet of it. And I just have to start today by saying happy birthday to my granddaughter, Winnie.
Oh, nice.
Who turns 5 today.
Awesome.
And if you remember where we were 5 years ago?
Yeah, yeah.
We were right in the middle of the pandemic, the throes of the pandemic, and everybody basically social distancing, people getting fired from their jobs for not getting vaccinated,
right.
All sorts of crap going on. And she was born right in the middle of it. So she's 5 years old already. Time is flying, and it's amazing. So happy birthday to Winnie this morning. And it was a great weekend. And quite frankly, watching both baseball teams, I mean, am I shocked at where they are? No. Am I, you know, ready to fire, you know, Aaron Boone? Am I ready to fire Brian Cashman? Or am I ready to fire Carlos Mendoza? No. I mean, we have about, 65, 67 games to go here the rest of the season. Why they pushed the All-Star back, game so far into the regular season is beyond me.
Well, I mean, it's, 90 games? You're talking 9 games.
Yeah, but it's not the halfway point. It's past the halfway
point. Just a little bit, though.
I'm a big halfway point guy.
You like the halfway point.
I like it to be a halfway point, and I'd like it to reflect the real All-Stars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
But, you know, and I do like the All-Star game. I know you don't really care about it.
No.
And I know that there was a budding controversy because of something that Juan Soto said. And, he makes a lot of money. But the point being is that a lot of these guys' contracts, number one, they want to be known as an All-Star. I think it's actually an embarrassment that Juan Soto is not an All-Star for himself. Like, wait a minute, I'm the highest paid player in baseball history, and I had a great June. I've had a good start to my July, and I'm not an All-Star. That's an embarrassing thing for him. I mean, there is a level of pride that is associated with becoming an All-Star. And then on top of that, as he unfortunately brought to light, there are bonuses, and $100,000 to him is like a drop in a bucket, but still, nonetheless, it's the pride factor of not being selected. And I think really for him, the embarrassment of not being selected.
Well, yeah, especially like you said, I mean, all the offseason was about Juan Soto, highest paid player in baseball, and he gets off to the slow start. And then finally, there he is with this historic June, and he's thinking, hey, this is it now. Now I'm going to be an All-Star, and it doesn't happen. So I can understand that part of it, the embarrassment. Obviously, the bonus stuff is not something I can comprehend with the salary that he's going to have guaranteed for the rest of his career. But yeah, I mean, the way that the fan looks at the All-Star game in 2025 and the way that the player looks at the All-Star game in 2025 is certainly different. And for the first time All-Stars, it's going to be a really cool experience. For me, it's a nothing thing. I think that they need to market it to kids to get younger people watching it. But, you know, I'm not interested.
Yeah, I know, not one bit. I know you're not.
I can't even muster up any sort of
excitement.
It's impossible for me. Absolutely impossible.
But I will say this. The pitchers go out there and they throw 100 miles an hour, man. They are competing.
Yeah, this isn't Randy Johnson versus John Kruk anymore, though. You know what I'm saying? It's just not the same thing.
I know for you as an older gentleman.
An older gentleman.
Who has
43.
Who has a lot of other things going on.
Grizzled vet.
Yeah, right. Who's got a lot of other things going on in his life right now. I would just say that, yeah, I mean, those guys are out there competing. Like, if they, if you're on the mound and you got, you know, one inning to get three outs, you're putting everything into it if you are a pitcher. And you don't, you do not want to be embarrassed. You just don't want to be embarrassed. And nobody there wants to be embarrassed. They want to win. And you can say whatever you want. Once you're out of the game, you know, sometimes, I don't know if the players are still allowed to leave early like A-Rod did. That may still be the case. I have no idea. But for the Yankees and their managing and their coaching staff and everything else, it's good for them because they open in Atlanta right after this.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and really at this point, it's all about, you know, are these teams, for me at least, and a break in the action for them, or are these teams good enough to win a World Series? And if
not,
they're not,
right now they're not.
And if they're not, what is it going to take? And is it an internal fix, or is it going to be an external fix, you know, at the trade deadline? We've seen both happen with the Mets in successful years, where back in 2015, it took a big deal and Yoenis Cespedes that ended up they fell into, wasn't even supposed to be the guy they got, and then they rode him all the way to the World Series. And then last year, you know, it was really about the team and the guys that they already had and that woke up and ended up, you know, going nuts and getting them all the way to Game 6 of the NLCS. So I'm really curious to see if the Yankees make a move that involves money, and do they go over that luxury tax threshold they weren't willing to do in the preseason before the regular season, and then also, you know, how serious is David Stearns in going out and getting another pitcher that's gonna require him to part with some prospects?
You know what? They're both very serious. You know, you don't invest this kind of money into your roster and have players like Juan Soto on it, Aaron Judge on it, and not go for it.
But
they're going to be going for it every year. I'm sorry. They just are.
But there's different ways of going for it. And all I'm saying is that Steve Cohen's not going to care about money, adding money. He doesn't care about that. Is that player that David Stearns and Steve Cohen think they're going to put him over the top, that they have to trade a prospect for that could be a rental? Are they going to do that? You know, and I haven't seen David Stearns do that yet, you know, as the Mets general manager. So that's just something I'm looking for. Of course they're serious. Of course they're going to go for it. The philosophy is the philosophy with these guys, and I'm curious to see how it plays out.
I mean, you know, one phone call, I did listen to the shows, you know, over the week, and listening to just different guys, you know, screaming and yelling about different things when it comes to the Yankees and the Mets.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to me. You know, some people are like, Brian Cashman's got to go. Yeah, Brian Cashman keeps the team 100% in the mix every single year. They are not good enough to beat the Dodgers right now. We know that. The Mets, you know, they give the Dodgers a run for their money, especially if they're healthy. And it was nice to see Sean Manaea back because on June 25th, we heard about those loose bodies in his pitching elbow.
Loose bodies or loose body?
Well, whatever, body, I guess.
Fleegs, was it a body or bodies?
I think it was body singular.
Body singular. It was a singular 4-millimeter body.
So it was nice to see him yesterday. So they're starting to get a little bit more healthy. And if they can get their pitching staff back here for the last, whatever, was it 67, 65 games? Now you got something. Now you got something that's legit. And, you know, this Jesse Winker thing was really frustrating because, you know, one at bat, boom, done, back now. Oblique to back and everything else. And he really was a kind of a spark plug type of player. But, you know, I was talking to Fleegs this morning, and I, you know, for me, it really comes down to Vientos and whether or not he's going to be able to pick it up again and be the guy that he was in the second half last year. And if he is, then all of a sudden they got something, and, you know, it's right underneath their own roof. Now, of course, they're going to want to add bullpen depth. Everybody wants to add bullpen depth. And the Yankees need a freaking third baseman, for God's sake. I mean, how many more times do we have to say it? How many more times does anybody have to say it?
Well, I mean, and everybody was all over this prior to the season. I mean, in spring training, you know, it was about, you know, since you added some veterans and Cody Bellinger and Paul Goldschmidt.
Neither one plays third base, though.
No. But the idea was that, okay, you add another veteran because you're trying to capitalize on the primes of some of these great players that you have under contract. You go out and get another veteran in Nolan Arenado. And because of the salary working out and going over the threshold, they didn't do that.
Well, because they also brought in Max Fried. That's, you got to understand that. And thank God they had Max Fried because of what happened to Garrett Cole.
Blisters, though.
Yeah, he's got blisters on his fingers. Yeah, hopefully blisters. He's not going to be pitching.
You ever have a blister?
No, only on my heel.
Blisters on your heel, but when you were pitching in high school, no blisters?
No way.
Nothing. Ran into another guy who said that he played you in high school. This was at Ocean Beach, not yesterday, but the previous Sunday. guy who he said he was a couple years older than me. Boomer, I'm 62, played him. He goes, I was shocked. I get this everywhere I go. It's insane. Everybody in the world on Long Island played you in high school.
Yeah, it seems like it.
I mean, a 12-year-old came up to me and said that he played Boomer. I said, how is that possible? But anyway, yeah, he said, you know, I was shocked at the time that he didn't pursue the Major League Baseball career over to football. I thought he was going to go with the baseball. I thought he was a better baseball player.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. It's
yeah,
nice. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. So no blisters on your fingers?
No blisters on my fingers, no.
It's a pain in the ass, those blisters.
Those blisters are really a pain in the hand.
And they linger.
And they do linger, especially with Max Fried. He's had a habit of having these and going on the DL with them, or the IL.
That's right. But I'm sure he'll be fine. But yeah, so those are really the things.
What do you do for that? I mean, like, you got to, like, you think somebody's massaging it, they're putting some salve on it.
You know what I used to do? So I used to get blisters all the time, and I'd play the big upright bass. That's what I did in music. So I used to, you know, pluck the big bass, and I used to get blisters on my fingers.
Did you put, like, Band-Aids on or anything?
No, because it just totally made, like, the thing sound different. So, but you know what I would put on there? That Nu Skin. You know,
Nu Skin. Yeah, of course.
So that stuff was insane. So I would lather up my fingers with the Nu Skin, and then I'd be able to get through it a little bit.
But wouldn't it be, like, slippery or...
No, it would actually, because, like, it would give a little bit of tack to it, and it was actually a little bit better. It wasn't slippery. The opposite of slippery.
I need new nail or something. I split my big toe nail.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Ugh. Does that hurt?
No, it doesn't really hurt. I know it looks bad, but it doesn't hurt.
Okay. But how do you fix something like that?
There's new skin. There's got to be, like, new nail or
new
something.
New nail?
I don't think they have new nail.
Does it just grow and then, like, the next part of it comes through?
Yeah, it hasn't happened to me before. You know, I've had my foot stepped on a few times, you know, as a player. But
of course.
I think this happened because of the biking.
Ugh. See, this is why you can't do anything.
Well, it doesn't hurt.
You can't exert yourself.
You want to see it?
Sure. I'd love to see
I'll show you in a break.
Why don't you show me now? Are you afraid? You don't want to show the America?
I don't want to show your America foot? My split toe.
You don't want to show America
split
your
toenail,
foot?
I should say.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'll see it in the break.
I just think it's something like... Fleek's got dressed up today. Jesus. I mean, my God.
Fleek's,
you've been here since like 3 days ago or what?
No, I was off most of last week.
Oh, you were?
So he's just like a Disney dad who's not a dad. Like, he just looks like you put a fanny pack on him.
Put a fanny pack on his ass.
Yeah.
He's right there in the middle of it.
Couple of
What's
snacks.
Wrong with the Brooklyn Cyclone shirt? Come on, representing some minor league baseball.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the shirt you're wearing. I'm just...
Not the logo on the shirt.
I mean, not the logo.
It's a gigantic shirt.
Yeah, it's a gigantic shirt, and you got those big, baggy...
Cargo shorts
on.
Yeah.
That's all. You got those white, pasty legs.
I like loose clothing.
Yeah, are you allergic to the sun? Is that what it is? Because you remain the same color throughout the year.
I'm actually pretty red because I do not do well in the sun. I was out there briefly over the weekend, even with sunscreen, and like 2 hours got burned.
You know where he went to the Orioles-Mets game down in Baltimore.
You know what he didn't do there?
The one that they won.
You know what he didn't do at that game? Smell anything because he doesn't have
sense. That's right, he has no sense of smell. You lost that during COVID?
No. It was his whole life.
Yeah, oh,
his whole entire life. Okay. Yeah. I was thinking about picking up some tickets for the second half. I was scouring some games on vacation. I was like, you know what? Because we went to, you know what it was? We went to that one game last year. There was a Catalyst spot. So I was like, Boomer and I need to go.
Yeah, you're
one
right.
One more time.
Yeah.
Bring the kids again.
Yes.
Get Mr. and Mrs. Met. Around the kids and the cotton candy and the whole deal.
Okay.
Get your nephew Randy to get hit with a foul ball, his big ham hock leg, and then bang, back in the NLCS.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, as we're watching right now, a replay of the Yankees and the Mets.
No, this is
the Cubs. Yeah, the Yankees. Yeah. Cubs and the Yankees. I'm sorry.
Yep.
And I'm looking at Pete Crow Armstrong.
Yeah, I know.
That's not a trade you want to make.
No. You know,
that's the dangerous. That's the danger part of making these trades with these supposedly...
But that's like one in a million, man. You know that.
A lot
of these guys, like, you know, I mean, the Yankees trade away 10 gazillion prospects over the last number of years.
None of them turn it into nothing.
I mean, the Mets, too, most of them. It just turns out that this guy, during that time, when they, you know, Steve Cohen first got here, and there was pressure and Baez, and it turned out to be a disaster. But generally... you know, these guys do not pan out.
Right. So how many trades do you think Brian Cashman makes here?
I mean,
he needs the third baseman in the worst way.
I'm going to say.
And by the way, well, we're off. You know, Jazz, you know, I'm a second baseman. Oh, my arm hurts.
Yeah.
This, that, and the other thing. I always think back to what was said by the ex-Miami Marlins president.
About David Sampson.
Yeah.
That was a big pain in the ass.
Yes.
I mean, he hasn't been a pain in the ass here all that much. I mean, yes, this was a little bit over the top for him to put that out there. Everybody knows I'm a second baseman, you know.
I thought it was like, you know, I'll do anything the team wants me to do. Wherever they need me to play, I'm going to play.
And he said the skipper. He loves the skipper there.
He loves the skipper. Whatever the skip needs, I'm good. But just so everybody knows, I really, truly am a second baseman.
And C-Mac's trying to be you now, by the way, as he predicted an oblique injury for Jazz during the home run derby. That's what he said.
That's not happening.
He said he's going to swing so hard. He's got a history of oblique injuries that he's going to pull an oblique during a home run derby.
That's a very negative take.
I agreed. You know, I mean,
and by the way, I don't do it as a negative. You ask me to, you know, to predict it.
I did for a couple times. The Trent Grisham one I asked you to predict, but the other ones that, you know, you're just watching what's happening.
Well, the Halliburton thing.
Yeah, you're like, oh, calf, Achilles, and then you said with the Mets, the guy called up, we got too many good pitchers, and you said someone's going to pull a hamstring. And
I said, don't worry about it. It will work itself out.
And it did.
And quite frankly, you know, we haven't even got to August yet, and you know, you got August and September. That's where all of this stuff really means something, because we'll be post baseball trade deadline.
Yep.
And both of these general managers will do something to reinforce the bullpen, I believe. There may be a starting pitcher for the Mets, and there's got to be some sort of third baseman somewhere that they can find that can basically take a little of the pressure off of Anthony Volpe, who seems to also be getting the fans' scorn right now. And if I were his dad, man, I would have punched that guy right in the face. See, like, you know, when Vinny Testaverde became the quarterback of the Jets, he and I had a conversation.
Okay.
And I said, here's the hardest thing. Now, he didn't have to deal with it as much as I did, because we weren't very good, especially the second half of my time here. So my family members heard it in the stands as well. And my family members weren't wearing my jerseys. They weren't, you know, showing up, you know, like, you know, the way that now families do. They wear jerseys. They don't hide who they are. They get in the mix. And I don't know why they decided to do this. But the fact is, I told Vinny, I said, the hardest thing you're going to have to deal with is the way that your family and friends who love you dearly and want to support you are going to handle any sort of criticism that may come your way. It could come from this radio station.
Mm-hmm.
It could come from any of the beat writers that are covering you, or any of the you know, the other writers that show up once a month to write an article on you. If you're playing well, they're going to write great things about you. If you're not playing well, they're going to write bad things about you. And the people in your life and how that affects them and how they bring it to you is going to be one of the hardest things that you're going to have to deal with. Now, fortunately enough for him, he had a good run here until he blew out that Achilles. But, you know, Anthony Volpe's family and friends and all the people around him are dealing with that right now.
You know what you like to call that? You and Phil used to do that segment, Pressure Point. It's a pressure point going on with the Volpes right now.
Yeah, well, he's 24 years old, and he's definitely regressed in the eyes of a lot of people around
here. Both offensively and defensively.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, and he's going through it. And a lot of players go through it. Juan Soto went through it at $765 million a year for a first month of the season.
That's right.
And, you know, unfortunately, Anthony Volpe is, you know, they're moving people around. And I do think his defense is affected by the people he's playing with on the field. You know, I heard that discussion, and I think it's a pretty good discussion. If he had a better third baseman next to him, it would probably take some of the heat off of him, making him feel like he has to make every play.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry is here. What's up, Jerry? How'd last week go, man?
Fine. Yeah? All good. Yeah. I had no issues last week. We had a good time. It's C-Mac in here We have Willie Monday and Wednesday, Al on Tuesday, and then C-Mac Thursday and Friday.
How was the 4 hours with Al?
It was fine.
Really?
Yeah, we've done it before.
I'm not saying you haven't done it before. I'm just wondering, you know, was he up on his sports?
No.
No, okay, good.
No. But he was Al. It was good.
Yeah. It was funny because I, you know me, I completely check out. So,
yeah.
You know, mother-in-law came out. She's like, it's unbelievable that Al Dukes is doing the whole show. I got a kick out of him. I didn't think he could do a whole show like that.
Yeah, the full 4 hours. We had Jeff Ross in on Wednesday.
Oh, nice.
Which was fun. So it was a good week. Wasn't that bad.
All right. Well, it's great to see you, Jerry.
Sure. Nice to see you guys, too.
We're sure. It didn't feel genuine there. You're like, sure. Did you hear that? He's like, yeah, sure. No, it's great to see you.
Well, yeah, I don't know that good. I believe it your way either.
What do you mean?
I actually am.
That's nice.
I'm totally genuine.
Jerry, very nice to see you guys.
Like, when we come back, we're excited to see you.
Are you?
No, I'm serious. I love the vacation. It was awesome, but it's great to come back to a job you actually like and the people you work with you like.
I mean, yes.
That is true. We are going to get to fact or fiction next hour.
All right, good, good, good. I like that stuff.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but we will get to this next hour.
If it happened last week, I'm not aware of it.
Okay.
I mean,
perfect.
Yeah, I have no idea.
That'll be coming up at 7:25.
Yeah, you could have had Tom Brady in here co-hosting. I would have no clue. Brady.
No, yeah. I just had Willie Colon. That was all. Yeah. Not true. We're brought to you by Roto-Rooter. Leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter. We'll start with the Yankee. Both teams lost. So we'll give you the Yankee story first. Dave and Susan were off this weekend. So you had Emmanuel Babari and Ricky Ricardo that did the games. And Pat Boyle was the pre- and post-game host. So here's Emmanuel on the biggest swing of the day.
0-1. Swanson, high fly ball, left field, deep. Dominguez back, on the run, at the wall, goodbye. Ian Hamilton comes out of the bullpen and greeted by Dansby Swanson.
Yep, two-run homer, made it 3-1. The Cubs would tack on another run on really good base running from Seiya Suzuki. 4-1 was the final score. Yankees dropped the finale of the series. Giancarlo Stanton did homer in this game. We'll get to him in just a moment in terms of that. But here he was talking about Shota Imanaga, the starting pitcher for the Cubs. 7 innings, 2-hit ball for the win, his 6th of the season.
Good sequencing, placement as well. He was using all sides of the plate, and all three pitches were working.
And he was better, just a bit better than Will Warren, who only gave up the one. I know he was charged with 2. Hamilton gave up the home run, but he threw into the 6th inning. Here was Warren self-scouting.
It was tough. Tough lineup. It's a good lineup. I didn't think my stuff was as sharp today as it has been, but, you know, battled through it.
Battled through it, but couldn't get out of the 6th inning. In terms of where this team is, they are 2 games behind Toronto in the AL East. They are 53-43. Here's Max Fried and what he saw through the first 96 games.
So far, so good. We still have a long way to go and a lot that we want to accomplish. But, it's been a good start, but you want to be able to finish strong.
And then, of course, you had Anthony Volpe. We know what type of first half he's had, and he has been the target of a lot. His thoughts of the first half?
I think ups and downs. I think a lot of room for improvement. And that's what I'm excited for the second half is to just help the team every end. I think, like I said, there's a lot of improvement there.
So Fleegs alerted me that Al had just posted on X.
Oh, okay.
So what do you think he would post about on X on his first day?
Oh, he's got to be, the airport's probably a mess and he's pissed off.
You know the man well.
Oh.
At the airport heading to Montana, already had a meltdown and vowed I am never traveling by plane again.
Jesus.
Unbelievable.
I mean, he's gone into this vacation with just like a whole bad overall, feeling.
So my attitude when I go to the airport is I expect it to be awful.
Yeah.
So if it's good, I'm pleasantly surprised.
All right, so let me ask you this.
I think he goes hoping it's going to be perfect.
You remember, I was going to, and I still want to do this, take you guys to Pebble Beach, right? We want to go play golf at Pebble Beach, right? We were talking about that. Yes. We have a big golf trip, and we're going to take Eddie and Al with us.
Yeah.
I guess we could use them as caddies or
something, sure.
Whatever. I just want to know that if we end up pulling this off and we go to Pebble Beach.
Right.
is Al going to be a jackass the whole time, or is he going to be into it?
I think he'll be into it.
I do not want a wet noodle. He is a wet noodle. I do not want that on this trip.
I think he would be into it, but I don't know. You just said I know him well. I think he. Now I can't speak for the
It just
the
depends
travel part.
How, right, it depends how things go. Right, I mean that's really what happened. If it's smooth, he's going to be great. If there's some sort of thing that's holding him up or whatever, there's a weight or just something annoying him, he's going to be impossible to deal with.
Eddie, let me ask you. I mean, like, we talked about going to Pebble. You were all up into it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I've already picked out some hikes.
Oh, okay, good. You're going to be hiking the golf course with a bag on your back. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And by the way, there was a development with this we need to speak about with these guys.
Got it.
During the the break.
All right, whatever. I mean, good, but I'm just like, Al was into this, was he not?
Yeah, and I think because of it's not his trip, his planning, I think that he'll be okay, even if there's some sort of a delay, because it's not on his shoulders, and there's no shows to do.
That's
once we
true.
Go out there.
That's true. It's just that, well, he's not doing any shows in Montana.
Yeah, I know, but it's his trip and his planning.
Right.
He's got, you know.
And he's using vacation days, and if he doesn't want to be annoyed while he's not here working, because he's always annoyed when he's here working. Would you rather travel with Al Dukes or a newborn baby? I mean, I'm serious. What's
the
answer?
I did travel with a newborn baby.
Yeah, so did I.
It didn't go so bad.
Yeah.
That's a great question. Is he planning it or am I?
Yeah.
That's a big part of this. If he plans it,
you're planning
it. I don't care.
No, you're planning it.
No. I would not want to plan a trip. Because then if anything goes wrong, it's my fault.
Little Sydney was a pain in the ass.
So you would rather go with Al?
I think I'd rather. Well.
See, the thing is, I could give Al alcohol. I can't give the baby alcohol.
That's exactly right.
So, like, that's one factor. But I think all things equal, if you take alcohol out of the equation, I'd rather travel with the baby.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Al just because I've seen him at his absolute worst. Coming back from that Vegas flight where you did the smart thing. You got on an earlier private jet. And we were sitting there and he just basically shut down.
No, well, all right, wait a minute, time out.
That was with Craig.
So you guys were on a private jet
as
well.
Yes, we were.
Didn't you get stuck in Buffalo?
That was a different one.
Oh.
How many private jets have you been on?
I wasn't on that one. That was just bad.
They're all been paid to for you.
Yeah, plus you don't have an experience, like a lot of experience with newborn babies. That's the thing. Like,
yeah.
You really don't, like I can't.
You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah. You did what in your diaper?
Stop crying.
Yeah, right, dude, can you shut up? Please, can you do me a favor and just shushy, the baby? But yeah, I think probably all things equal, I'd rather travel with the baby. Yeah. I can control the baby better than Al.
That is true.
And when something hits him wrong, man, it's just so obvious.
Well, it also infects everybody else's, you know, days. Like he can infect your day with his negativity, you know?
Well, listen, if we're doing this Pebble Beach trip, he's not affecting it in a negative way. That is,
yeah.
That's all I got to say.
It's inexcusable.
I think he'd be fine. I actually think he'd be fine.
One negative thing out of his mouth, I swear to God, I'm going to punch him right in the face. So when he wakes up in the morning and his nose is rearranged.
Okay.
It's terrific. A reminder of be happy.
Yeah.
All right. What good else luck. There, Jerry? The Mets, so they won the first two games in Kansas City. Then yesterday they were trailing 2-0 in the ninth inning. They got the RBI triple from Jeff McNeil. You got the sac fly and the RBI from Jared Young. However, in the bottom half, you had the base hit, a stolen base, and then ball game over.
Pitch. Line toward third. Over Mauricio's head into left field. Tolbert rounding third. Nimmo sort of the plate on the way. The slide. Not in time. Tolbert in with a head first dive. Kansas City wins the game.
3-2 the final score as the Royals take the finale of the
Man, that happened fast, by the way.
It did. I also thought, I mean, I know it is what it is, but the 1-1 pitch was strike two. Changes the at-bat.
I know it does.
It changes the at-bat.
I mean, it was a nice comeback by the Mets. I mean.
Yeah. I thought Neil homered. All right, hits off the fence, but they get him in. But they did lose. That said, Friday and Saturday was okay. They win fine, but they didn't do much offensively again yesterday. It was Carlos Mendoza.
We got good hitters. You got to give these guys credit, too. That's a good pitching staff there. But overall, we got a good offense, and you just got to understand that at times you're going to have a hard time scoring.
Yeah, well, you have. Noah Cameron, the no decision, 6 2/3 scoreless innings. We talk about McNeil. Here he was talking about the first half of the season.
That was pretty good. You know, I'm happy with it. You know, it's a little bit different than, you know, what people are, you know, used to saying out of me, you know, like they're high average. You know, still have a pretty good OPS this year, so, you know, that's what I'm happy about. So, you know, hitting for a little bit more power.
Yeah, and he almost had the home run yesterday, and he has played all over the place. In terms of Minaya, so he comes into the game. We finally get to see him this season. He allowed that one run in the ninth. His line, 3 1/3, one run, 5 hits, 7 strikeouts. How'd it go?
Good. Yeah. You know, it's really good to be back. Fastball and slider felt really good. I think I threw only one changeup to Bobby, and I didn't throw any more. So everything felt really
good. So maybe the Mets will be a little bit more whole now after the All-Star break. They will return to Citi Field to play the Reds. They right now sit a half game behind Philly atop the NL East. The Phillies did beat the Padres 2-1. JT Realmuto, the go-ahead RBI double in the eighth. Also of note, the Red Sox have won 10 straight games. They beat the Rays 4-1. So they're 53-45 all of a sudden. And the Reds beat the Rockies.
Are you one of these guys that believes that getting Devers out of there is the thing that got them going?
You know what? I don't know, but they are certainly playing good baseball.
How could you not think that?
Well, I don't know, because sometimes things are coincidence and sometimes they're not.
Sometimes there is a malcontent in the locker room for whatever reason. It's tough to go to work with that person. That person drags everybody down.
Wait. Weren't we just talking about this?
Oh, boy. All right, baseball draft real quick. So the Mets, this is the kid that did the cocaine thing at second base,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Mitch Voigt, the kid from
Michigan.
Was it
second or third? Either
wherever
way.
Wherever it was,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was totally him, yeah.
So they got him. He's a pitcher and an outfielder, but I guess he's had some sort of arm trouble. He's really more of an infielder and a big hitter.
He was definitely third base because he did it with the chalk.
Hold on for a second. You just said he's a pitcher and an outfielder.
Infielder.
Oh, I thought you said outfielder.
No, if I did, it was pitcher, infielder. But I guess I'm not sure if they're going to. I don't know if he's going to pitch or not at the big league level, but we'll see. The Yankees took a high school shortstop, Dax Kilby, and Caden Kent, the son of Jeff Kent. How about that? And then also you had Ethan Holiday go fourth to the Rockies. He is the son of Matt Holiday, so that's kind of neat. In golf, how about a local story with Chris Goddard winning the Scottish Open, as we hear from Jim Nance?
Finishes in style. And golf has a new up and comer.
Get it? Got her up and cover.
Yeah.
He is from Little Silver, Rumson Country Club, so that's very cool. And went to Rutgers.
Yeah, pretty cool as well. And then to be able to stare down Rory over there in Scotland.
Sure did.
I love the way those golf courses play, though. You got to love that.
Yes. You know, here he was.
Like 7-iron from 250 yards away.
Now this letting it roll up.
No doubt a big deal. Another guy that had trouble containing himself as he was with Amanda Baleonis afterwards on the course.
Give me a sec. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get it out, but everyone at home. I don't know, but I mean, it's just awesome. I'm not going to be able to keep it together.
That's a lot of hard work to get there, Jerry.
I'm aware.
I mean, he's like he's the Anthony Volpe of the PGA Tour.
This guy's a winner.
No.
Well, wait a minute. It's taking him a while to get there.
Yeah, but
that's what I'm saying. Like, he's a Jersey screaming at him. Well.
Yeah, but
he was actually born in Easton, Maryland.
People weren't like, Goddard's never going to make it.
Nobody even know who he was except for the Jersey Golf
Club. The Jersey Golf, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So, good for him. He will now be playing the British Open
You shot a 61.
61, I think, on Thursday.
Record.
Unbelievable, yes. And the 66 yesterday in the final pairing with Rory, who shot 68. Not bad.
And when he shook Rory's hand afterwards, I heard him. He's like, "We're going to beat your ass in the Ryder Cup." He read his lips. Beat your ass, Rory.
Maybe so. Royal Port Rush, the site of the British Open this week.
Yeah.
And Joe Pavelski won the American Century Championship Tahoe. Jimmy Rollins, hole in one.
Got a boat.
We'll get to that next hour.
Okay.
We're going to play that, and you're going to tell me what kind of boat it is. So we'll talk about that next.
Yeah, I did. I did take a look.
Nice.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis, Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
You know, one of the interesting things that happened when we were off, of course, they have the Mike Brown press conference and everything.
Yeah.
The new coach of the Knicks, and he was talking about some of the things, and he recognizes the pressure, which I can appreciate. You know, he wasn't actively trying to get this job. You know, he just basically kind of fell into it because he seems to be like their fifth selection, which is fine. I mean, that happens. And
yeah,
timing is everything in sports, and he is going to inherit a much better team than they had last year. Higher expectations than ever before, I think, for the Knicks, maybe since Patrick Ewing was here. And I would also say that, you know, his commentary was interesting. You know, I want to build a culture. Well, that's what Tom Thibodeau did.
Yeah.
Tom Thibodeau, he built a winning culture.
That's just a buzzword nonsense thing.
Right. And I know that. And I know that when he was a coach out in Sacramento, they had the number one offense that one year, I guess in 22, 23, or 21, 22, one of those 2 years. I mean, so what does that mean? They're going to run up and down the court really fast?
That's what he said he wants to do.
Yeah. Well, okay. Good luck trying to. All right. I think there are a couple guys on this team that can do that.
But and a bunch of guys who can't.
That's exactly right. So you. Is this a misfit? Is this a fit offensively, you know, for the Knicks and what they're trying to do? And I know he's in an impossible situation. He's replacing a very popular coach for the most part. He's replacing a defensive minded coach. I'm assuming he's more of an offensive coach.
Mm-hmm.
And the Knicks are going to try to ramp up the offense and the 3-point shots, I guess. And it's going to be offensive fury, if you will, up and down the court. And that's going to be really interesting to see if this team and this group of players can play that way.
Well, I mean, I think we talk about this in all sports, but when you have a lot of talent, you really need to adjust to what you have and not force something on a group that doesn't maybe work. You know, we talk about this with offensive coordinators and types of quarterbacks. And, you know, if you have a guy like Lamar Jackson, you can't run the same offense that you're running with Peyton Manning as you're doing with Lamar Jackson. So I think Mike Brown's smart enough to figure out what he has and get the best out of him and not try to put a square peg into a round hole. I mean, the biggest thing for me that he needs to do is he needs to get the best out of Karl-Anthony Towns. He needs to be the coach that unlocks that last 20% of him.
You know what? You sit down with Karl-Anthony Towns and say, look, when you score a basket, you don't have to flex.
Yeah.
Get your ass back on defense. You know, don't be lazy and stop taking the stupid fouls. And, you know, we didn't see a lot of that during the regular season, but where it really became apparent to all of us that there's just a little something off with this guy is in the playoffs.
Yeah, of course. I mean, and we went over it a ton, and certain moments, best player, he looks like the best player in basketball. Other moments, he looks like he has no idea where he is. You know, another thing I'm concerned about just from a front office coaching dynamic with all of this is, all right, they fire Tibbs because they feel like he's playing the starters too many minutes. He's not using the bench enough. They go through an entire draft and free agency before hiring a coach. You're telling me that Leon Rose and World Wide West aren't going to be dictating what Mike Brown does with his rotations? Hey, we signed this guy. You know, why aren't you playing him?
Well, of course, but that's
because Mike Brown wasn't around
when they signed him. But Mike Brown talked about working with those guys. He openly talked about that. So we know who's running this team.
Yeah.
We understand. And maybe there was a little bit of frustration with Tibbs not playing certain guys. But then again, did he have the guys that he really felt like that he was comfortable in playing? And don't forget, Mitchell Robinson missed half the season.
Sure.
It wasn't like he was sitting there totally healthy. They had to watch his minutes,
mm-hmm.
and they expanded his minutes in the playoffs. And it wasn't like he had a full complement of a bench.
He didn't, and that was the argument that I had, was we were overrating these guys. Like, I mean, Landry Shamet and Cam Payne and somebody, like, they were, you know, these guys were not great bench players. They were not the same types of guys that you were getting, you know, with Hartenstein and Dante DiVincenzo on the roster. It just was different.
And remember, Hartenstein and Dante DiVincenzo came off the bench at one point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that was before they had Mikal Bridges, Karl-Anthony Towns, and a full year of OG Anunoby.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, when they were playing probably their best basketball, when OG finally got here, was those first 20 or 19 games when he and Julius Randle were on the court
and,
together.
And, yeah, and Jalen Brunson.
And Jalen Brunson, three of course, those guys. Yeah, but those guys were all together. And that, you remember that little run they were on?
Oh, yeah.
They were like unstoppable.
Yeah, they were playing better than anybody in the league. Yeah. And then injuries, of course, and yada, yada.
Yeah, you have injuries and everything. Nobody wants to talk about injuries. But, you know, when you're spending $45 million on a player and he's missing, you know, 15 games or something, it's a big deal. I mean, like, if the Yankees had Gerrit Cole living up to what Gerrit Cole is supposed to be for the New York Yankees right now, where do you think they would be? They wouldn't be where they are, like middling, like, you know, in a top 10. I mean, they would probably be a top 3 or 4 team in the league right now. Now, Brian Cashman will go out and make trades, and he will fortify this team, and this team will be, they'll try to win. That's exactly what he does every year. And does, and you know, his decision making's a, I don't know, it's probably like a, I don't know, 40-60 success rate, that much. But he always seems to bring in somebody.
Yeah. It's just been a very long time for the New York Yankee fan celebrating that ultimate goal.
They were in the World Series last year.
But they didn't win it.
I understand that, but they were in the World Series last year.
It's a drought for the...
And you know what? You know, the Dodgers, they're going to be back. They're going to be back again. You know, I don't, you know, unless the Mets get totally healthy with their pitching staff and they pick up one bat that can actually hit with runners in scoring position.
Let's go to Chris, who's in Michigan this morning. What's going on, Chris?
Boomer and Geo. Oh, yeah.
What's happening, Chris?
Welcome back, guys. Hey, I hate to be that wet blanket, but I just got to say, Boomer, you cannot take that much time off again. Those sports minutes when you're gone are god-awful. Other than Patty Boyle, I mean, this JR Sports Brief and Dean, the betting machine, like these, they were awful. So I want you to know that you were missed, and I hope you're refreshed and ready to go because I need those Boomer Sports minutes right when you guys cut the break. I got to let you guys know. So I'm going to keep it short and sweet. Love you guys. Welcome back. And on the second half, let's go Mets.
All right, there you go, Chris. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who Dean the betting machine is. I heard a guy do an update this morning. I actually thought he was very good, but I'd never heard of him before. What was his name, Fleegs? Andrew Starr or something?
On our air, Justin Rock.
Andrew Starr? It's Justin Rock?
Justin Rock. I thought he was good. I mean, he went too in-depth with the baseball draft, but he was like very informative and energetic, and I could hear everything he was saying. I thought he was pretty good.
Where'd we get him from?
Well, he's the voice of the Cyclones. He's a good buddy of mine, actually, for like 15 years now. So he just started here a couple months ago.
Oh, okay, so you got him the job?
No, of course not. I mean, that's I know.
It sounded like he was saying, yeah.
Well,
he's
I mean,
a good
did anybody
buddy
ask you about him?
You heard his voice. That got him the job.
Yeah, but you know how Fleek said that? Like he wanted to let everybody know that he's known him for a long time, and now he just started working here. That was like sort of like I, you know. Known the guy for a while. He just started working here. I got him in.
Yeah, I got him a look. And
I got him in.
And, you know, once you get a guy a look, then it's up to him to, you know.
Right, but Fleek's got him. Fleek's got him the job. We want everybody to know that. I mean, he just put that right out there.
Mover and shaker. Needle mover.
I've helped other people get jobs here. None of them as good as Justin Rock.
Yeah. So JR Sport Brief, of course, he had the famous or the infamous Sports Minute that changed the name of the network.
Yes.
A Sports Minute that
but
got
that's a needle mover.
That's a needle mover for sure.
Yep. And unless there's a new guy who I don't know about, I'm guessing the guy was talking about Sean Levine, the sports machine.
Oh, okay.
We first heard of him, I think, over the holiday break. One of those Sports Minute aired. Me, Jerry, CeeLo kind of all looked up and looked at each other like, anybody know who this guy is?
Yeah. The Levine, the sports machine. And then there's Bart Winkler. Familiar with him. Heard his stuff.
Bart hosts nights on the Infinity Sports Network now.
Oh, does he? Okay. All right, very good.
A lot of changes around here. We, you know, we took a week off.
Yeah, well, more than that, actually, you know. Friday.
We had Friday, which was, you know.
4th of July.
Independence Day.
Oh, damn right.
Damn straight.
Yep.
Celebrate America's 249th birthday.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.